Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Chul and Daf Tzadi Aleph. We begin seven lines from the top of the Amud Tashma. So this links back to the question that was posed yesterday. Which one of the two sides, which one of the Gid Anashas are Aser? Is it the sciatic nerve inside the right thigh of the animal or the left thigh? So we have a machlekes. According to the Chachamim, according to the sheet of the Tanakhama mentioned in our Mishnah, actually, it applies equally to both sides, the right and the left. So the Gid Anashas on the right is Aser, likewise in the left. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one of those two are Aser. Which one? He used the term as follows. V'hadas machras shal yamin. It appears that in fact it's the right. The Gemara was not sure what he had in mind. Is it just sort of a preference, a probability? And it's still really in doubt. We're not really sure, is it the right or the left? It appears to be the right, but we're not. Or is it conclusive? Rabbi Yehuda concludes definitively that in fact it's only the right Gid Anashas and not the left. So which way is it? Is it a suffix on both? Uncertainty on both? Or is it a vada, a certainty only on the right? Toshima, here comes another attempt at resolving this issue. We have a braisa as follows. It's a tesefta. Ochel mizeh kezayis. So he gets up and eats a kezayis worth. Kezayis, you know, volume of the right Gid Anashas. Well, mizeh kezayis. Then an hour later he was warned again. Don't do that. He ate another kezayis of the left side. Soifeg shemayinim. Okay, a double portion of Gid Anashas gets him a double portion of Malkus, 80. He violated it twice. That is Tanakhama. And according to Tanakhama's view, that the Isser applies equally to the right and to the left. However, Yudah Omer, Ein Sefik Al Arba'im. You know, it only gets a total of 40 Malkus, one set of Malkus. Because only one of the two is really Isser. The question is, how at all is he getting punished? Look, if we're not sure which one is Aser, invariably the warning is going to be a warning in doubt. I mean, you could warn him all day, but if you don't know for sure which one it is, don't eat this one, maybe it's Aser. Okay, now later, don't eat that one, maybe it's... Ultimately, it's Hasra'as Safik. It's a sort of doubtful warning. He's not going to take you seriously. Unless you present it to him as an absolute Iser. Hasra Suffolk has no value, has no validity. You can't punish him on account of this shaky warning. So how is it that he's even getting one portion of Malkus? Oh, certainly it's going to work if Rabbi Yehuda has a definite view on it, that it's just the right one. And yeah, so if he ate the right and the left, he gets Malkus for the right one. Eli Amris Sfukai Mesapkali, but if Rabbi Yehuda wasn't really sure which one is the forbidden one, so each one on its own is really only a suffix, in which case the warning that precedes that consumption is Hasra'as Suffix and has no validity in terms of triggering punishment. Havila Hasra'as Suffix Vishamini Li Rabbi Yehuda. We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Amar who says Hasra'as Suffix is not going to be counted. Loishmo Hasra'a doesn't count Hasra'a. The Sani, where do we find that discussion? This is on a different topic. We know there's a prohibition against striking one's father or cursing one's father. Suppose he doesn't know which one is his father. He was born too soon after the second marriage. Not sure if Shimon, the second husband, is really his father, perhaps Reuven, the first husband, and he struck at both. The Sanya, Hika is there. He struck at Reuven after being warned not to do so, and then an hour later, he struck at Shimon after being warned not to do so. V'chazar v'hika is there. Or he cursed them both separately. Kilel eseh, v'chazar v'kilel eseh. He cursed this one and then that one. Or if he did them both simultaneously in one experience, after being warned, they struck at both in one shot, or he cursed them both in one utterance, or one experience. Chayav. Either way, he's chayav because ultimately, between both of them, he struck his father. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be asras badai. When you warn him, it has to be conclusive. You can't just say, well, don't strike him, or don't strike him just in case one of the... Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'vasachas chayav. If he struck them both together in one shot, after being warned not to do so, he's chayav because ultimately, right, between the two of them, one was his father. And since it was done in one experience, in one maisa, after being warned not to do so, he has ignored that warning, transgressed the isser, and he's chayev. But bezachar zeh patur, if it happened sequentially, he did one father at a time, after being warned separately, he's patur, because either one, each one on its own, independent of the other one, is not a vadai. Okay, clearly Rabbi Yehuda holds, hasra asafek has no validity. So back to the fellow who consumed both Girhanoshas from the right and from the left in separate experiences after being warned separately on each one. How could he be chayiv even one? Because it's a safek. Hasra safek has no validity. Answers the Gemara, Haitana Savala ki idach tana de Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana of the Braisa, who presented that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is malchus upon eating the double Girhanosha. What about Asra Safik? I'll tell you what's going on. This Tana had a different version of Rabbi Yehuda's position. That in fact, he'll maintain Asra Safik has validity. Kedah Tana to Rabbi Yehuda, the other version of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amra Asra Safik, Shema Asra. Asra Safik does count. The Sani, we have a Braisa to that effect. There's a Sira Menot Baiker. The Torah warns us against leaving over the meat of the carbon until morning. And if one does so, the Torah instructs him to burn it. By telling us to burn it, Torah is giving us sort of a way out to resolve this issue, to rectify the transgression of Noisar. If you left it over, burn it. Ba'akos of litin asse. Achar lois asse. Torah is capping the lois asse with an asse. You shouldn't do it, but if you do it, this is how you fix it up, you burn it. Leimar. Which tells us, she'en like olav, there's no malchus. Ain't like an olav because it's called a lav hanita klase, a lav which is linked to an asay, which sort of rectifies it and it mitigates the whole lav, and there's no malchus. Okay? Divi Rabbi Yehuda. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Now, let's stop for a second. Even without this new element of lav hanita klase, why would you get malchus at all for leaving over basar? How could you warn him? How could you punish him? It's a suffix all throughout the night. Hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? It's left time. 4 o'clock. It's left time. You can never really, conclusively, hold him against the wall. Maybe he'll take care of it later. So at most you can warn him, hey, listen, you're taking your chances. Don't you know, diddle-daddle. You might come to leave it over. And you know what? You can't really catch him at that last moment. Right before daybreak, it's impossible to time it properly. So, inevitably, every hasra regarding Nisa is really hasra suffix. Why are we even considering malchus? Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to this version, that hasra suffix does count. And the earlier Braisa, you had this view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, let's just finish this price. He says, no, Leiben Hashem Uzeh, the reason why there's no Malkus for Noiser is not on account of, you know, Rabbi Yehuda's reason, because it's Nitik Lasei. Elim Shem Dehav Olav Shem Bei Maise. Rather, it's because it's a love that's not entail a physical act. It's not a positive violation. It's sort of a passive neglect of the you know, obligation. It's passive. V'chol Olav Shem Bei Maise, a love which does not involve a physical action. In like love. Ain't like an olav, there's no malchus for that. Okay, in any case, we haven't really resolved Rabbi Yehuda's, what is Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding the Girhanosha? We know it's going to be the right, not the left, but is that for sure, or is it just a suffix? Toshmai comes the final raya, which will give us clarity. So this braisa speaks about a similar type of case, but slightly different than the previous one. Toshma, achal beis gidin. He had two animals lined up. He had two geranashes coming from two thighs, from two animals. Now, the fact that we speak about two animals indicates that we're not speaking about right and left, because otherwise, why would you need two animals? We're speaking about rights. He ate two rights. Two geranashes coming from the right thighs of two animals. Okay, what happens? Seifik pes, pay. He gets a double portion of malchus, 40 times 2. Why? Because he violated twice. Rabbi Da'imer, Einoi Seifik el Arbaim. Only gets 40 malchus one time. Why? We'll get to that soon. In any case, what pertains to us is Midaka Amam, Rebezi Reichois, Rebezi Behemois. The fact that the Brice had troubled itself to a case of two animals with two thighs, apparently we're trying to relate to only right thighs. Otherwise, you don't need two animals. If it's going to be right and left, just do it from the same animal. Oh, Pshita, so it's clear the Tavaili Sura. The Brice is trying to allude to a case where we ate one Giranasha followed by the other, which are both forbidden. They're both from the right thigh of an animal. Ul Rabbi Districh, and the point is to highlight Rabbi Districh, as we're going to get to, you know, get to that soon, even though they're both Asr, he only gets one Malkus, for whatever reason, we'll get to that soon. In any case, what pertains to us is, and now we can conclude definitively, Shmamina, we can learn from this, that in fact, Mifshat Pshitileil, that according to Rabbi Districh, it's clear. That it's the right. Otherwise, if it's perhaps the left, then he wouldn't get any malchus for eating two rights. Shmamina? Okay, so that's the conclusion. So after all said and done, which Giranash is Asur? Rabbanan say both right and left. Rabbi, this is only the right. Now, back to this Braisa. You're thinking, why? Why, according to Rabbi, is there only one set of malchus if he ate two geranashes from the right side, they're both asr. Vim if shapshitale, if it's clear to him that's the right, that's forbidden. Am I specific? Mem, why is he only getting 40 malchus for suloy and not double that much? Lilki pei, should get 80. Oh. The answer is like this. Hachem my skin have gone less by kazayis. What happened was that each individual sciatic nerve did not encompass a kazayis of a volume. It was a, you know, a miniature animal, miniature geranash. It was a full geranasha, full entity, but less than a kazayas worth of material. And that's an interesting question. Typically, one is only liable upon eating the volume of an olive, of a kazayas of isra material. But there's one exception. If it's a berry, a bria, a full entity, a full creation, like a worm, a snail, a full thing. So the chashivas, the prominence, compensates for its smallness and size. Now, you can wonder, what about a geranasha? How do you treat it? Is it considered a complete entity? Is it just a piece of flesh like anything else, which needs a kazayas? Or do you say, no, it's like a bria? In which case, even if it's small in size, it has prominence. It's a full entity, and you would need a kazayas to be in violation. So this is a machlok. Sanya ochlei ve'im kazayis chayiv. According to Tanakama, if one eats a full geranash, even if it does not encompass a kazayis, he's fully chayiv because of its prominence. Rabbi Da'imer atshei be kazayis. No, unless it has a kazayis, it's not a violation. Okay, so that's exactly what happened here. He ate two geranashes, but each one on its own did not have a kazayis of volume, which is the, you know, minimum requirement for liability. According to Tanakama, that's irrelevant because a geranasha has its own prominence, its own identity. If he eats a full geranasha, he's chayiv regardless of its miniature size. Rabbi Yehuda takes issue with that. He says, unless it's a kazayis, you're not chayiv, and therefore, in this case, even though he ate two geranashas, he's only chayiv once because between the both of them, he ended up with a kazayis. He's only chayiv once on eating a kazayis of a geranash. Okay. Now back to the focal point of our sugya. Geranash applies to the right and left, according to the chachamim, according to Rabbi, only the right. Why? What's the, what are the reasons behind these positions? What time am I? Why is that so? Why is it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is it only relevant on the right geranash? Amar Rava, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says that because of that episode, because of the incident, the struggle, the fight between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach of Esav, where the Malach struck at his thigh, dislocated his Gid Anasha, B'nai Yisrael will no longer eat the Gid Anasha, Asher Al Kaf, which is situated on the Kaf, on the, you know, the round circular part of meat, B'kaf Yirechai of his thigh, Asher Al Kaf HaYarech, HaYarech, is an extra hay, the Yarech, the more prominent, the right one. Amakra HaYarech means Ham Yumenash B'Yarech, the more prominent, the right one, you mean. V'Rabbanan, who hold that it applies to both sides, so why the extra hay, HaYarech? Hahu, that's coming to teach us the Pashat Isurei B'Kula Yarech. Which one? Which sciatic nerve is Asur? The one that's inside, that spreads throughout the whole thigh, that sort of snakes its way by the bones. Lafuki Chitzen Dulei, as opposed to the external nerve, which is sort of more on the surface, that's not alluded to in the Pasuk. That has to be the main primary Gid HaNashim. Rabbi Shlomo Levi Amar, he gives another pshat, why you contribute that it's the right only. Amakro, the Pasuk says, Behavka Imai. So this happened when he was struggling with him, he was wrestling with him. Ka'adam HaShachoybek is Chavir, like two wrestlers face to face, he's sort of wrapping each other, and his right hand reaches around his opponent all the way to the right side, the right thigh of his opponent. That's what he struck, that's what he hurt. So it's limited to the right side. And his hand reaches over around to the right thigh of his opponent. Hence, only that side was dislocated and affected by this episode. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, another reason why according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the right side only. The Malach of that represented the power of Esav, of Edom, of Seir, he appeared to him like a guy, like a human being, like a guy. In which case, Yaakov Avinu, in line with the directives of Chazal, angled himself in a manner that the guy would be to his right. This way he's near his right hand, and you know, he can protect himself if the guy has any thoughts of a foul play. Davar Maz, we learn in the Halacha, Yisrael shenitfa la'ed kecham b'derech. Yisrael encounters a guy on the road. Taif lo'y limine, he should angle himself in a manner that the guy will end up to the Yid's right side, near his stronger hand, or the Yid's right hand, so that he can contend with the guy and his schemes. So likewise, over here, the Malach was to Yaakov Avinu's right, and when he struck over to Yaakov, he struck Yaakov Avinu's right side, which was right near him. Rav Shmuel bar Acha committed Rav Papa in front of Rav Papa, and Shmuel Rav bar Ula quoted Rav Ula Omar. Actually, the Malach appeared to Yaakov being like a learned sage, like a Talmud Chacham, like a learned person. In which case, he had good reason to have him situated to Yaakovinu's right side. Or not, we learned Hamalach lemin Rabbi Yerizabur. If you're walking along on the road to the right side of your Rebbe, that's bur, that's not the appropriate practice. It shows unlearnedness, right? Rather, you're supposed to be walking to the left of your Rebbe, your Rebbe is to your right. Out of respect to the Rebbe. So here as well, he had the Malach who appeared to him like a Talmud Chacham, situated to his right. So once again, the Malach was in close proximity to Yaakov Avinu's right side, and that's where he struck him. Interestingly, I saw in the Svarim that the Gemara says that the Esav's Malach appeared like a Talmud Chacham, like a Eved Kechavim. We know that the Yisori Shel Esav represents the power of evil, the power of Yitzhahara, that constantly challenges us, and gives us a run for our money. He can appear in two different ways. Sometimes Yitzhahara tries to entice a person outright, go do something wrong. And sometimes he'll try to confuse a person by convincing him that this act is a mitzvah act, when it really, it's anything but. That's what the Gemara means. There were two ways two manifestations of the Yetzer Hara, how he can appear and present himself to a person. He can appear like, go do something wrong, entices him to do something wrong outright. Sometimes he comes in a tricky way. Oh, he gives him all kinds of, you know, rationalizations why to justify and to substantiate it as a positive thing, it's a mitzvah, and just tries to confuse a person to make right from wrong. Beautiful pshat that pertains to everybody all the time. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. We have several reasons, several sources to explain why the Isser is limited to the right side, because that's the side that was harmed. V'rabbonon, Rabbonon who disagree, they hold that it applies equally to both sides. Me'achari asa, actually the Malach attacked him from behind. V'nashi v'tarayu, and he dislocated both, the right and left, at the same time. Hence, both were affected, both were forbidden. No, Rabbonon hai be'ofke imay darshibe. The pasuk be'ofke imay, which according to Yishom Levi's interpretation, provided sourcing from Yehuda. Be'ofke, like the wrestlers, and he reaches over to the other fellow. What do Rabbonon use this phrase for? I mean, what's the purpose of the pasuk, you know, describing it this way? Be'ofke imay, let's just say that, you know, he struck him and done. What's the point of be'ofke imay? My darshibe, what do they apply this for? They needed to say idach to Rav Shmuel Levi regarding another lesson taught to Rav Shmuel Levi himself. Damar Rav Shmuel Levi malamet shehelu avak, to show us to highlight the intensity of the struggle. It rose all the way to Shemayim. It touched the core of our existence, the core of our mission in this world. This eternal struggle, the constant battle between Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, between the Yid and the Goy, Yaakov and Esav. They kicked up dirt, dust, all the way up until the Kisei HaKavod. Over here we have the term Biyavka Imay. Elsewhere we have Anan Avak Raglav, describing upstairs in Shemayim, the Raglaim, Kaviyachal Hashem, Avak Raglav, all the way up to Shemayim. How did it get its name Giranasha? It jumped out of its place, it was dislocated. Likewise, we have in the Pasuk, Nashasog Varasam, their strength left them, jumped away. They were weakened like women. What does this Pasuk mean? It's referring to Giranasha. Dovar Shalach B'Yakov. So this incident struck Yaakov. This story happened with Yaakov, the Giranasha. That's when his Giranasha was harmed. V'nafal was injured. V'nafal be Yisrael, and that affected all of Yisrael. She pashat Yisur b'chol Yisrael. The Isser spread and affected all of Yisrael to refrain from the Giranasha as a result. V'amar Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Maidachsiv. More on the topic of Giranasha. Let's go to the pasuk by Yosef Atzadik, who told his people to prepare the meal for the Shvatim, Utvoyach, Tevach V'Hochein. What was that? Referring to Paralahem Beis Hashchita. Tvayach Tevach, open up the place of Tvicha, expose the cut, show them that it was shechted, so that they feel comfortable partaking in the meat. The word Vahachin, that's Toil Giranasha Bifneim, remove the Giranasha in their presence. They know that it was taken care of. Commander Amar, this is according to the Shita, in line with the opinion that Giranasha was already Aser, was already forbidden, Nashal Bnei Noyach, when we were still before Matan Torah, we were called Bnei Noyach. So the Iser was activated at that story, at the incident, rather than waiting until Matan Torah, and therefore the Shvatim adhered to this directive, and it had to be prepared accordingly. This is all due to the fact that Yaakov Inu remained behind himself. Why was he himself? He had his whole family with him. Amar Lazar, Shinishtair al Pachen Kitami, went back to fetch the empty containers there, the small containers, which had value to him, even though he had all he needed. But Mikan, we learn from here how important it is for a tzaddik to preserve his possessions. It's all dear to him, all has value, all part of his mission in this world. Avodas Hashem, tzaddikim shechav aleim mamoni meisim regufim. For tzaddikim, in a certain extent, their money, their possessions are more dear than their own self. just because it's low in value doesn't mean you have to leave it and for naught. He went back to fetch it, to bring it back, and that's when he encountered the malach. Why are they so careful about their possessions? Because it's erlich geld, it's honest money earned with integrity and honesty. It's part of their work, part of their mission in this world. They don't reach out to gezel, they don't partake in thievery and dishonesty. So even their mundane matters, their mundane possessions are laden with dedication, sacrifice, and holiness. He encountered the ish, this malach, who struggled with him until the morning. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, what else do we learn from this story? It only happened because he was there himself. Mekan, we learn from him, a Tamat Chacham, who the evil spirits are jealous of because of his high stature. He is at risk of being attacked by these evil spirits and the Malachim if he spends time himself at night. He shouldn't go out himself at night, because that's what happened to Yaakov Avinu when he was there himself. Rabbi Abba, we have another source for this concept. We turn to Amud Beis, when Naomi told Rus, her daughter-in-law, go find Boaz. He's going to take care of his threshing there in the granary, and you'll find him there at night. How did she know that he'll be there at night? Maybe he'll go back home. He's going to take care of his barley, because Talmud Chacham doesn't travel at night on his own. Rabbi Avo, Amram Yachav, another source from Avram Avinu, Vayashram Avram Abayk, Vayashram Moire. So only in the morning did he go travel. Now, interesting that Tosfos asks, if this is the pasuk by the Akedas Yitzchak, he didn't travel himself, he had Yitzchak, that's why Tosfos changes the wording in the Gemara. Instead of Vayashkim Avram Avayka Vayachvayish as Chamoyre, which is the pasuk prior to Akedas Yitzchak, he switches it to a different pasuk, Vayashkim Avram Avayka Lamakim. This is when Yaakov Avinu went to Davin, by Stoyim over there. So he went out himself, and he only did it in the morning to avoid being alone at night. Rabbonon Amri, they have another source. Mehacha lechna re'eh shleim achecha v'shleim atzoyin. Yaakov Avinu instructed Yosef to go see how his brothers are doing. And he used the word re'eh. Rashi says re'eh means during daylight when you can see easily. So he sent them out by day. Rav Amar mehacha, Rav had a different pasuk, v'yizroch le'ashemesh. And this relates to the next Gemara we'll see at the end, how this pasuk teaches us this point. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel. I once met Rabbi Gamliel as Rabbi Yeshua. Where did I meet them? Be'itlis, in a butcher shop, no less. Shell of the town Imum. Why were they there? Sha'ocha likach behemah. They went to buy an animal, the Mishta B'nai Shur Gamliel, to celebrate the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. And the Gemara elsewhere says that the point of highlighting the circumstance and the location was to show, to bring out how important Torah was to them, even when they were in the butcher shop, no less, standing in line for meat. They were involved in Divrei Torah, questioning and discussing words of Torah. That was their life. That was their life. Okay, so that was his question. Ksiv vayizach le'ashemesh. Interestingly, we find that the pasuk sort of relates the sun to Yaakov Avinu. In the morning, the sun shone for him, loy. It's his personal sun, v'chi shemesh, loy levad zarcha, only shown for him, shown for everybody, shine for everybody. Amar Rabbi Zan Rizal explained, this is the answer. Of course, it was shining for everybody. What the pasuk means to say is that there was some extra time of daylight there to make up, to compensate for lost time when the sun set prematurely at an earlier date due to Yaakov Avinu. So this time it made up for that. Shemesh Habab Avuri, the sun that set early on account of Yaakov Avinu, Zorcha Bavuri, now Hashem made up for it, and it shone extra for him, on account of him, meaning to make up for that lost time. What do we find that it said early? Vayetz Yaakov Be'er-Shava. So after the brachas, Yaakov left Be'er-Shava, Vayelech Haroni, and he traveled and arrived at his destination. So he's already in Haran, which is deep in Syria. Uksiv, then we have a pasuk, Vayivka Ba'malkim, he encountered the place, the Beis HaMikdash, the place of Hara Maria. How could that be? He was already far gone, he was already on the other side of... This is what happened. Kimata l'charon, when he arrived at his destination, l'charon Amar, he had second thoughts. He says, ooh, did I miss the holiest place, the Makom of Tefillah, where my ancestors died? And how could it be that I passed through without without noting it. Amar Efshar Varti, could it be that I passed over Al Mokim on the location, the holy place, Hara Maria, which was the place she spalu Avoisai, where my parents davened, Avraham Avinu davened there, Yitzchak davened there by the, you know, it says Lasuach Basada, right? He was Masak in Mincha there. That's the place to daven. Vanidlo Yispalalti, and I just glossed over it before traveling out to look for a shidduch. Some tefillah in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mokim Hamikdash. Kadyov da'ati l'mihadar. As soon as he sort of contemplated, he decided, okay, I'm going to go back. This is a lesson right away when a person has already a plan of action. He already has that determination to do something good. Hashem already gives him special heavenly assistance. Look what happened. Kavtzele Yara. Suddenly, he finds himself back in the Miyad. Vayivka b'mokim. He ended up on the Harabayis. Interestingly, kavtza doesn't mean that he took a flight, like, you know, pictures of the wagon flying. No, Rashi says kavtza means lashon le'sikpoitzes yadcha, compressing your hand. Niskatzra v'niskamtzala, it shortened, it got condensed, it got contracted. So the like a kfitz, like a Hebrew, it's a kfitz, like a spring that's, you know, clamped together. So the land sort of condensed, contracted, and suddenly he finds himself on Har Bayis with very little travel time. Kavtzel Yara, Miyad Yivka Mokim. Rashi says Vayivka here has two meanings, it's a double meaning. Vayivka can mean you encounter somebody, and Vayivka also means Lashon Tefila, or Tefka Bi. So both happened here, right? He encountered and he davened. Katzoli, when he started davening, Boyla Miyadar. Well, sorry, when he finished his tefillah, which tefillah we all know, right? He was Mesakan Tefillah's Arvis. He decided, okay, back to Charan. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, my good friend is in my abode. I'm going to let him go without a night's sleep. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzadik said, this is a great man, Bala Beis Maloini, ended up in my abode in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to send him off without, he's going to leave without staying overnight. He's my guest. Miyad Ba Hashem, suddenly it's dark and he can't travel. Oh, so we see from here that a Talmud Chacham should refrain from traveling at night. And the missing hours were made up later on by Yizuch Le'Hashemesh, that Hashem lengthened the day to make up for this lost time. Interestingly, Ksiv, when Yaakov Avinu set up his bed, Vayikach Me'av Ne'amakim, took some of the local rocks to use as a pillow, as whatever, and suddenly, Ksiv, it says, Vayikach Asa Evan. So it's actually the next morning, it says, he got up and he took the single stone, but I thought it was many stones. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Melamed, we learn from here that the stones were vying. I want to serve the tzaddik. You know, this is a very fundamental lesson that is taught in Mesilas Yesharim, in the beginning, in the first parak. He says, a person who does what he's supposed to do in this world elevates the mundane of the entire world. And the entire world is lucky and fortunate to be in his company, to be at his service. And he brings a raya from this very Gemara. The stones were vying to serve Yaakov Avinu, the great righteous tzaddik. Because for them it's an elevation, it's a kedusha. For them to serve a tzaddik. Amar Yitzchak Melamed, we learn, all the stones were sort of competing with each other, all jumping around, trying to be in that place. Each one was vying and saying, Allah Yaniyah Tzadik Zez Roshe, I wish the Tzadik places his head on me. And guess what happened? Hashem made peace amongst them. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, V'kulu Niblu Ba'achas. They all sort of merged, fused into one stone. Hence, the Pasuk says, V'yikach Asa Evan, because now it was only just one stone. Interestingly, the Medrash brings that the 12 stones were corresponding to the 12 Shvatim. And that now we understand how it all sort of blended into one, because they all sort of blended under Yaakov Avinu's auspices. He was sort of the one that fused them all together. Titen Emes Liyakov, because when the ultimate goal is arriving at Emes, at the truth, whichever path you take, whichever personality you have, ultimately it's for the sake of Emes, which is the Briyah HaTichain, right? Uniting theme and the unifying element amongst Klal Yisrael, which is MS, Midah of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, now to his dream. Vayachlem, so as he's sleeping, he had a dream, he had a vision. Vini Sula Mutzav Aretz. So we have this ladder coming from the down from the Eretz, Olei Teshamayim, Tana, we learned in a Brisa. How wide, how big was it? Tana, Kama Rech B'Shasum, how wide was this ladder? Shmoinas, Aleph and Parsoras, no less than 8,000 parsa, very wide. Echsiv, because the Pasuk describes it as being a conduit for the Malachim going up and down. Vini Malach Alekim, the Malachim were traveling up and down, Eilom V'Yorin Bay, going up and down. So at the same time we have Malachim ascending as descending. Must be room for both to pass, right? Oilam Shnaim, Yod Mishnaim, two going up, two going down. V'chipog about that day when they encounter each other side by side, it's really four. Side by side, Havla Arba. Now how big was each Malach? Sibib Malach, by the Malach it says, V'kviyasek is Tarshish, his form was like a Tarshish. What's Tarshish? A certain sea. Ugmir, we have a tradition, the Tarshish, Treyalfi, Parsi, Hava, the sea was 2,000 Parsa, so times four is eight. Tana, we learned in the Brisa, Oilin. The Malachim traveled up the ladder, Mestaklin, and they would observe, they would study, B'dikenashal Mato, in the image of Yaakov Avinu that was embedded in the throne, in Hashem's throne in Shemayim. V'yordin, they would come back down, and they would look at the original. V'yordin, and Mestaklin, B'dikenashal Mato, and they would see Yaakov Avinu himself downstairs. And that evoked jealousy. A person, a basar v'adam, a human being should attain such lofty levels, even bigger than Malachim. Bolus kune, they wanted to attack him. They were he was in danger. V'yad v'hini Hashem nitzavalov, Hashem came and protected him. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Amalim mikrakosef, not for the pasuk actually saying it. It wouldn't be for us to say the efshalayim laimer, we couldn't say it. Because it was like a father actually standing up, hovering. Ka'adam shemenef, like a father who was holding this sort of hand fan, protecting his son from shemenef al-bnoi, waving it over his son to protect him from the sunlight and the heat. So was Hashem protecting Yaakov Avinu from the surrounding threats. Ha'arat asher atoshech v'aleh, Hashem promised him, look, the land that you're lying on is yours to keep, it's for your kids. My Rabbu say, look, how much land is it, under a person? Four amos, that's what he promised him? What's the big deal? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, no, it was much more than that. It was a concentrated Eretz Yisrael. Melamed v'lon shakafla kadosh baruch hu Eretz Yisrael. Hashem took the entire land of Eretz Yisrael and folded it up, condensed it, concentrated it. V'nicha tachas Yaakov Avinu, placed it beneath him. Shtei noicha, what was the purpose? Shtei noicha l'kavash l'bonav. This way, it would be easier for his children to inherit the land, to banish the Goyim, because now that he sort of put it in his hand, he put it beneath him, that sort of gave him, put it in his hand, gave him control, which, you know, was just waiting for formality when Klal Yisrael entered and they completed the process. Okay, back to the struggle between Yaakov and Esav. So the Malach tells Yaakov, you know, look, I gotta go, it's morning time. Please, let me go. Amar Lo, he says, what are you worried about, the police? Are you a bank robber? I'm like, Ganavata, you're a thief, a kavyustasato, a kidnapper, who's afraid of daylight. Shemisyar ben Ashach is afraid of daylight. What are you rushing? Amalei says, no, Malachan, I'm actually a Malach. He didn't realize that he was a Malach. He thought he was a guy, or right, like we said before. Look, this is my opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity to sing to Hashem from the day that I was created. Lo yigia zmani lo mashiru adachshav. Never was summoned. I never got the opportunity. I was never invited to say shiru to Hashem until now. Now the obvious question is, pink today, pink now, just now, why this this timing? So some, I saw a beautiful verse, I forget from whom he says that, explained that the act of shira, the experience of singing to Hashem is attachment, is dveikus b'Hashem. It only happens when the malach fulfills his mission. Then he totally cleaves back to his source, he connects back to Hashem upon completing his mission. When did the power of evil, the Sar of Esav, the Yitzhahara, who was represented in this form here, right? When did he complete his mission? What is his mission? To challenge us, to give us a hard time, to give us any Yisayon, to make it difficult for us to rise in greatness. But ultimately, his goal is that we win over him, right? He's trying to do Hashem's will, which is that we should prevail. He's just giving us an enticement. He's just challenging us to make it more difficult, to make it self-earned, right? So that our shleimus, our completion, our earnings are self-made, are self-earned. hence the whole struggle, the whole challenge, but really it's just sort of an illusion. It's just there to give us the opportunity to win him over. So once he won him over, Yaakov Avinu won him over, that's it, job's done. Completed his mission. Right? As sort of a microcosm of what every Yid is going to experience throughout his lifetime. Ultimately, the point is to win over the Yetzer Hara. And he has the ability to do so, as per Yaakov Avinu's victory. So now that he's done, that's it, he finished his life's job, he went up to Shemaim to say Shira, beautiful vart. Basically, even the Yetzer Hara wants us to win over him. That's a beautiful piece of inspiration. Don't feel threatened. He's on your side too. He's just pretending. So I have to go back to Shemaim. Mesayel el Rav Chanan l'amar Rav. This is a support to Rav. Dam Chanan Rav. Shalosh kitos shemalachi asharis. There are three brand new groups of malachim. Oimris shir b'chol yayim. We say shir every day. Achas ameris kadosh. One exclaims kadosh. Vachas. And the next group ameris exclaims kadosh. Vachas. And the third group ameris kadosh Hashem tzivokos. So the third group utters Hashem's name merely after saying just one, you know, preamble, Kaddish, Kaddish Hashem Tzvakas. Maisvi, here comes Akasha, my Brisa, where it seems like a Malach can't has the first to precede his Hashem by saying Kad, three words. Let's see, Maisvi, with Akasha, Chaviven, Yisrov, Negashbachu, Yais Malach Hasharis, a Yid is more dear to Hashem than even a Malach. We find it in three ways. Shisrov, Aimrim, Shir, Chal Shah. A Yid can say Shira every day, every minute. Walk into a shul, say Kedusha all day. Umalachi Asharis, Ein Oimrim Shira Amalach. He has to be, he has an appointment. El Pamachas B'Yayim, once a day. Bamalach Sam Sefer Machas B'Shabbos, once a week. Bamalach Sam Sefer Machas B'Chesh, once a month. Bamalach Pamachas B'Shana, once a year. Bamalach Sam Sefer Machas B'Shabbos, once in 7 years. Bamalach Pamachas B'Yayim, some say once in 50 years. Bamalach Sam Sefer Machas B'Oilim, once in a lifetime. V'Yisrael, that's number one. So we have that advantage over them. We're free to say Shir all the time. Take out a Tehillim, sing to Hashem. V'Yisrael, number two, V'Yisrael maskiras Hashem achashtei tevas. In contrast to Yisrael, who can exclaim Hashem's name merely after two words, Shenemar, as it says, Shema Yisrael, and then after two words, Hashem alakein. But a malach has to wait for three words. O malach asharis em naskirin es Hashem. They can only utter Hashem's name alach gimel tevas after three words. Because the pasuk says, Kadesh, 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 only then Hashem tzivakes. So we see that he has to wait for three words. And earlier we said that the third group says it right away. It just says Kaddish Hashem. It's just one word. We'll get to that soon. The third advantage we have over the Malachim, Vein Malachi Ashura is Oimrim Shira L'malo. The Malachim upstairs do not start their Shira Ad Sheyoimru Yisrael L'mata until we give them the green light. Until we start down here, that opens up the door for them upstairs. Shneimar, the pasuk says, Bron Yachad Kechei Boker. When the Yidden come together and they sing to Hashem, Kechavim, Yisrael like stars. Once we get the process started, then come the Malachim to compliment us. V'hadar, then it says, V'yariyu, they will call out, Kol B'nei Elohim, all the Malachim. Okay, so we have three things over the Malachim. The second point being that we can say Hashem's name just after two words, a Malach has to wait for three words, but in the previous discussion we learned that the first group says Kaddish, second group of Malachim says Kaddish, the third group says Kaddish Hashem. Hashem is merely after just one word. You're right, says the Gemara, Ella, we have to revise it. Achas, one group of Malachim, Omeres Kaddish, says Kaddish. V'achas, the next one, Omeres Kaddish, Kaddish. Two times Kaddish. V'achas Omeres, the third group says Kaddish, 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 and then Hashem Tzimoko is after three Kaddishes. So says the Gemara, V'ika Baruch. Okay, that explains Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. But what about Baruch Kvod Hashem? Malachim say that too, right? Baruch Kvod Hashem. So there, it's only after two words, Baruch Kvod Hashem. Says the Gemara, we turn to the next page. That's for the higher ranking Malachim. Baruch, Ifanim Huda Amrilei. So that expression is by the Ifanim. Ifanim, Rashi says, is part of the Kisi HaKavit. So it's a higher level. We're talking about just regular Malachim. So that's different. Another way to answer that is, Kivan the Yisrael Rishus. So once the permission was given, so once the first group of Malachim sort of, you know, exclaim Hashem's name after three words, Kodesh, 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 Hashem. So once that happened, it sort of, again, that makes it, opens up the channel. Yisyoiv now was given permit, was given and allowed even after merely just, you know, two words. Baruch Kvod Hashem Im Kvod. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. Which kid anash is Aser? Depends, according to Tanakam, the Chachamim, both sides, right and left, they hold that Yaakov Avinu was attacked on both sides from behind, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's limited to the right side, and we concluded that, you know, that's definitive, it's conclusive, and it's based on the way the story happened. Yaakov Avinu angled him to the right, so it was, he hit him on the right side, or because of the way he wrapped him. Different explanations why the injury occurred only on the right side, and subsequently that was the Isra. We learned how Yosef prepared for his brothers, ensuring that it was kosher to their satisfaction. We learned about Talmud Chacham being careful, refraining from traveling out at night on his own. We had several riyos for that. We had the story of Yaakov Avinu, Kvitzas HaDerech, the fused stone, the dream with the Malachim, Hashem's hovering and watching over him, the Shira of the Malach Shel Esav, which led us into a whole discussion regarding the Shira of the Malachim. Ultimately, a Yid stands higher than a Malach in many ways. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.